there's one key about the holidays, especially Thanksgiving. Don't go near a scale on Friday. Don't go near a scale, and you'll be just fine.
Bucks fans, here he is, the sage of Tampa Bay sports. He's no turkey. He's Ira Kaufman. He's got plenty to say today. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan.com is not joining us on this shorter podcast. He'll be back from California and with us on the next edition, which will be before your Thanksgiving dinner is served. It's all presented by Bill Curry Ford. You're going to be blown away if you went to BillCurryFord.com to see these offers. I know you love that there's lots of offers and that you're telling people about a great family business that takes good care of people regardless, but these offers, Ira, Black Friday is on at Bill Curry Ford.
And they got a big inventory right now, Steve. Big.
Yeah,
they can handle anything you want. They got it.
They got it big time. They got 0% financing on 2023 Ford Edge vehicles, plus $4,200 in savings. All these great offers go through the end of the month, but you got to hurry up over to get to Bill Curry Ford, nationwide lifetime warranty on every new vehicle. Ira Kaufman discount is in effect. Just ask Sean Sullivan, the GM, for it. And they've got great hours and just they're fantastic. BillCurryFord.com. Shop there first before you look somewhere else. That's how you do it. And you can order a vehicle online. Very easy. Sean Sullivan will give you a $500 gift card just to do it. Concierge assistance available. No deposit. BillCurryFord.com. And Sage, Florida's Elite Restoration, they are who you call when you have a disaster because you got to call somebody if you get that flood or mold in your home or, you know, crap, my neighbor's tree just fell and crashed my fence and destroyed part of my home and I got some water in it. You got to know who to call in your time of need. Go look at Florida's Elite Restoration online, floridaselite-restoration.com. See their across-the-board five-star reviews, 5.0 rating on Google. We know how great they are. Sean Sullivan of Bill Curry Ford has given them testimonials for how they saved his beach property. Floridaselite-restoration.com. You know Josh and his people, Ira. You know how they take care of people all the time, especially if they mention the Sage.
He's got a great crew, Steve. Well-trained, honest, most of all. And that's all you're looking for. Give me something genuine. Don't try to take advantage of me. Bring them in, and you'll be very pleased that you'll be very impressed. It's a great company, and they're doing very well.
24/7, your first phone call, floridaselite-restoration.com. They'll give you a free evaluation at your home with all the great technology.
Hey, can I get a Big Storm beer around here?
A good question, Ira. You can. BigStormBrewery.com. You can see all the beers, but tap rooms in Odessa, Clearwater, and Ybor City upstairs. We'll talk about their great special a little bit later. Fantastic holiday special going on. And in Orlando at the Amway Center, BigStormBrewery.com. Big Storm, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. All right, Ira, the table is set for you to tell the fans here whether this glass for the Bucks is now half empty, half full. I mean, you didn't expect a win in this game. You picked them to lose by 11. But, you know, we saw the defense hold the Niners to 0 points in the fourth quarter. We saw a comeback that would have been a very interesting comeback if Cade Otton could squeeze a touchdown pass or Devin Tompkins could squeeze a touchdown pass. So where do you sit with this here now? Ira, what is the big picture for the Sage?
See, my big picture is very clear. It's not easy at all. They've been exposed. The Bucks have been exposed. They are stuck in the middle. I mean, they're the classic 8-9 team. Steve, you look at the Eagles game, you look at the Lions game, you look at the 49ers game. You know, you're going into the fourth quarter, and it's like there's no suspense in this game. This game was 27-7, Steve. Let's not kid ourselves. It was 27-7 in the fourth quarter. The Eagle game, I believe, was 25-3 in the fourth quarter. The Lions game, they never you never got the feeling they were going to win that game. That's where they are. Can they beat the Colts? Yeah. Can they win this division at 8-9 again? Maybe. We'll see. But, Steve, in the big picture, and that's what you asked me, how's it going to get better? What's the plan for this team? Is Mayfield going to get any better next year? Is the running game going to get any better? We don't know that. All of a sudden, the corner, the secondary is a major concern. Major. Especially when the pass rush doesn't get there. Dean's had a terrible year. Davis has done nothing. Ryan Neal, we don't need to spend any time on. They're lucky they got one stud back there, and it was a hell of a pick by Jason Light. I'll give him that. Lavonne David may be back next year. He may retire. Devin White probably won't be back. I mean, they're stuck in the middle, Steve. That's where they are. They're not 3-14, you know, but this is not an 11-16. So Buck fans can take all the solace, Steve, they want out of, you know, making a game of it in the fourth quarter if this guy doesn't drop the ball. Steve, the Niners are saying the same thing. We probably should have had three picks, maybe more, if we don't drop the ball off Mayfield. And I'm not blaming Mayfield, Steve. He played a decent game. I thought he made some great throws. And I thought the O-line did a pretty darn good job overall in pass protection. But, Steve, looking forward, you know, uncertainty at the coaching position. We don't know what they're going to do about quarterback going forward. This team, it's an NFL purgatory right now. Maybe that's the price you pay for what happened with Brady. There's no regrets. They do it again. I got no problem with doing it again, getting that Super Bowl. But, Steve, this could be a long, hard climb back to contention because right now they're not a contender. And no Buck fan in his right mind can think they are.
Well, Sage, you know, for the optimists out there, couldn't you also say that literally the Bucs are within a score if they squeeze that football and they had two chances at that touchdown? And it took Brock Purdy literally to play a perfect game. And still it was tight. You know that the 49ers weren't taking their foot off the gas. First, that's not how they operate. Second, they were going for it on fourth down in the fourth quarter. They were doing everything they could to close out that game, and they couldn't do it. So, I don't know. Isn't there maybe a little part of the Sage? Maybe it's 6%, maybe it's 11% that says, you know what? The Bucs have had some really stupid, ugly losses, and that's what bad teams do. I'm talking about the Falcons. I'm talking about the Texans. But, you know, maybe they're getting a little bit better, the Bucs. You mentioned is how much better is Mayfield getting. You can't deny that the offense has gotten a little better the last few weeks. So maybe they're on to something. I don't know. Or are you sort of telling Bucs fans right now that, hey, this team has got major changes coming next year. Good chance that it's completely gutted, except for the core players that we know that they're going to stick with. And maybe Lavonne David, because he's still playing well.
I think they got to change their approach, Steve, in the offseason. Even if they win this wretched division, I think they got to change their approach. And their approach has been, we're good enough to make a run at this thing being the division title. I don't think that's the goal, Steve. That's only the first goal. The goal's got to be to win it all. You're reaching for that or you're not. And this year, they were reaching for the division title. Most people don't think they're going to make it. I think they got a pretty good chance of making it when I look at their schedule, especially if they take care of business against the Saints, which would be a home game, Steve, against New Orleans. But it's not good enough for me, Steve. It's not good enough. There's a pretty good chance there's going to be a coaching change. Pretty good chance there might be a quarterback change. I think big changes are on the horizon for this team. It's a scary prospect. It is. Saying goodbye maybe to some veterans that have helped you win a Super Bowl. But, Steve, I'll say this about Sunday. They got fight. You know, they could have lost that game 34-7. They didn't. But I think their talent is short, Steve, in some areas. This running game is just awful. I'm tired of looking at it. So are you. And I'm not crediting the Niner defense for it because it's happening every week. It's happening in Houston. It's happening against Tennessee. They can't run the ball, Steve. They just can't. And I'm not saying they should run it 60% of the time, but, Steve, it would be nice if opposing defenses would at least be concerned about the Buck running game and it would help the play action. They got a lot of things to look at, Steve. I'm looking at that secondary again. I'm looking at JTS. I'm looking at Logan Hall. Who are these guys? Can they play at this level? Right now, they're not showing me they can. Yeah, some pleasant surprises. Diaby, Cansey disappeared on Sunday. I think they need a new approach, Steve. I think they need big-time changes.
All right, Sage. Well, I'll be on board with you if they lose one of the next two games at Indianapolis and then home for the Panthers. I can't go there yet. I just can't. I'm not ready to jump on the other side of the line. But we'll see. But in this game specifically, Sage, Give me something you liked. Maybe it was Devin Tompkins. Maybe it's Diaby. Maybe it's and something besides the fight that you talked about.
This restructured offensive line, and I didn't think Wirfs had his best day. He got hobbled up a little bit. Gedeki is looking good at right tackle. I mean, you know, Nick Bosa lines up on the left side. He didn't wreck the game, and he could be a game wrecker. So I think they might have found something there at right tackle, and of course we know about Wirfs on the left side. So it looks like they got some bookends. Cody Mock, I think, bounced back with a pretty good game. Doesn't mean they shouldn't draft an interior offensive lineman, but Steve, I thought the offensive line held up well. You got to remember, two out of the four sacks came on the final drive for the Bucs. So during the vast majority of the game, the Niners had two sacks. I didn't think Mayfield was under siege. He was pressured, of course, but I didn't think he was under siege. And I didn't think he was against Aiden Hutchinson. I didn't think he was necessarily against the Eagles. This line, it's a good pass-protecting line. And Mayfield has said that, and I don't think it's just, you know, casual talk just to talk these guys up. So, to me, that's something to work with. If they can get a running back, Steve, to run the ball and keep White as a pass-catching back out of the backfield, they might have something. If you can get the right running back, and I mean a good one, this offense could have a whole different look. So, I like the pass protection. Of course, I like Diaby, Steve. Of course. In a limited playing time, he made an impact. Lavonte David, another outstanding game. Winfield was great. There were some things. You know, Kamara had a good game. Tompkins had the punt return. There were some things. But there's also a lot of stuff to worry about going forward with this team. They seem like they're stuck in the mud right now. 4-6. Steve, let's not forget. They're 4-6. That's nothing to crow about.
I got you, Sage. I got you. Hey, Ira, you know what? I think it's time for you to take to a Twitter, X as it is known now. Put out one of those famous Sage Nugget tweets. You know, people around the country pay attention to what you have to say, and you got a lot of big names following you. I think it's time to put out a tweet that Lavonte David, I'll have to double check it, but I'm quite sure he's second in the league right now in tackles for loss, which is just extraordinary. You know, I think more people need to know about it, Ira. So what do you think of that?
I think that's fantastic, Steve. I mean, you would think it would be maybe a defensive tackle. And sure. Aaron Donald plays closer to the line of scrimmage. You don't necessarily think it's going to be a linebacker. David's had an excellent season, Steve. Excellent. He's added to a resume that is compelling in terms of getting into Canton. I still think it's going to be hard, Steve. I know Buck fans don't want to hear it. He doesn't have the hardware. He's got numbers, but he doesn't have the hardware. And I just don't think over the course of his career, which has been lengthy, Steve, I think it's fair to say he's never been thought of by the, you know, the general journalistic population as one of the two or three best linebackers in the game. It's never thought that way. It's always Kuechly's over there, Bobby Wagner's over there, now Fred Warner's over there, Patrick Willis was over there. He doesn't make that great, Steve. He doesn't make that. So those all pros are lacking. The Pro Bowls are lacking. If I'm still around, Steve, I'll do my best to make the case for David. It's a good case. It's not an overwhelming case. He's certainly not going to be a first ballot guy, but that's okay. Once you're in, you're in. Nobody asks you how many years it took. He could be a guy that hangs around for 4 or 5 years as a finalist and finally pushes through. There's not going to be any problem, Steve, getting accolades from other players about Lavonte David. That's going to be a zero problem.
We're going to save for the next podcast. Lee, when he's back, he's going to lose his mind for everybody on Yaya Diaby not playing enough snaps when he had a hot start, and Joe Tryon Soyinka week after week is no good. It almost sounds like Todd Bowles is trying to say that in his own way that Diaby doesn't know every aspect of the defense yet, so he can't play all the time, but it obviously makes no sense. If that's your best pass rusher, if that is a guy who plays the run better than Tryon Soyinka, which seems to be obvious, then he's got to be on the field. I don't know what they're waiting for, but we'll let Lee go crazy about that, and he's got some insight. He talked to Diaby as well, so we'll let him share that.
Steve, one more point about the 49er game. I think this was the most depressing thing of all. They did a pretty good job on McCaffrey. Not great, but pretty good. Pretty good. You know, he didn't run wild, certainly. He caught a touchdown. That was a great play by the Niners. I got to give them credit rather than kill the Bucs on the McCaffrey touchdown. The guy went, lined up on the left side. He sliced through diagonally. I mean, it was a great play call. McCaffrey, ran it very well. Almost impossible to stop. But, Steve, the point I'm trying to make, and I think it goes back to the Houston game too, but it was even more glaring. Granted, Shanahan's a very sharp offensive mind. There's no question about it. Kittle and Ayuk, they're good route runners. There's no question about it. But, Steve, how wide open they were for Purdy to fashion that perfect passer rating, and Purdy played well, but, Steve, they're not contested passes. They're not in between guys.
It's a joke, Ira. Let's call it what it is. It's a joke.
Wide open, and that's just not acceptable.
These are not unknown receivers. They're sitting there in zone coverage, literally. I can show you the still shots. Nobody's within 5 yards of them. And it's just unacceptable. It happens over and over again. And you got to put it on Bowles, where he's just not teaching these guys to react quickly enough or to, you could play zone and still play a tighter zone. Teams do it around the league. It's just really frustrating because the opposing quarterbacks, I believe they're up to about 2/3 against the Bucs on completion rate. And the Bucs haven't exactly played legendary quarterbacks all season long. It's just not good enough.
And, Steve, when the pass rush doesn't make the guy uncomfortable, you just know, Steve. You just know before the pass is even launched, Steve, you know, A, it's going to be a completion, and B, the guy's going to be wide-ass open. That's the way it is right now. The Colts have Tyreek Hill? No, they don't. They're not a bad team, the Colts. They're right there with the Bucs. They're an average team, can spring an upset once in a while. They've beaten a good team or two this year. They have,
yeah,
the Colts. So this is no gimme. And like you said, if they go to 4-7, I think there could be changes sooner rather than later. I'm not talking about Bowles necessarily. But at that point, if they lose at 4-7, especially if the Saints win and they fall 2 games behind, I could see some definite changes, Steve.
Absolutely, Ira. They got to win this game. I don't care how you want to spin it. The Colts aren't that good, but they have talent. They're coming off a bye. They've got Jonathan Taylor coming back and now maybe freshening his legs up again after the bye. They've got talent, but they're just not that good. And if the Bucs can't beat them, I can deal with all the other losses, but if they can't beat these guys now and go on that 5-2 run that you were talking about last week, I'm done with them. I'm as far as this season, and you need to tear it apart because you can't.
You're right, Steve. If they go 4-7, they have to go 5-1 to have a winning record. I don't see a team that can go 5-1 down the stretch, even though the schedule's favorable. You play the Panthers twice. I understand that, but I don't think it's fathomable that they would go 5-1. And I'm sticking to my guns. I think Bowles needs a winning record to continue in 2024.
I agree with you, Sage. Hey, here's one for you that was eye-opening. I had it last week, Ira, but I didn't talk about it. I didn't even write about it because I wanted to give one more week just to see, since these words were so stunning. And they came from running backs coach Skip Pete on the Buccaneers radio network. And he was asked about, of course, when he sat down for a half an hour chat, he was asked about Rashad White and had plenty to say. And one of the things he was asked was about what he's working with White on as far as improvements going forward. And he immediately went to violence, running harder, playing nastier. And he thinks that's a huge deficit in White's game. And that rang a bell with me, Ira, because back in August, Rashad White did an interview and explained that a big thing they're focusing on in practice, which is new to him, new to White, is playing every rep, even if the team's going half speed, whatever it is, every rep going hard and bouncing off the turf and playing everything 100% crazy. That just wasn't something he was doing in practice. And it was being drilled into him that you do that in practice, it becomes valuable, creates those habits that you need to play more violently, and they want him to play more violently. So here we are, September, October, November, 3.5 months later, and we get ranting from Skip Pete about how he's trying to get White to play more violently, but it's not happening. And he says once in a while, sure, but he's basically painting him as a project because he does not try to hammer people. And, you know, he's one thing he said to White was, hey, you know, you got to understand, they're not trying to tackle you. They're trying to kill you. And you got to get that mentality, because you got to fight that with a killer instinct of your own. That he just says White doesn't have that yet. But if he doesn't have it yet, and they've been drilling this for months, Ira, it makes it sound like they just don't have, all they have here is a third down back, and that's it.
Steve, it's not easy to change old habits, to change a running back style. You're asking for a revolution. He's a finesse back, in my opinion. His forte, and he's very good at it, is making the first guy miss in space. I mean, we all see it. He did it again on Sunday. Get him that pass in the flat, little space out in front of him, and he's very good at getting yards after the catch. There are a few backs in the league that are better at it than him. He's one of the best pass-catching backs in the league. Now, that in and of itself, Steve, that has value. That has value.
Sure.
But the first thing you look at for a primary running back is running the ball. You danced around it, Steve. You said, he's got to be more violent. Steve, I'll put it this way. He's got to run angry. He doesn't run angry. Now, I watched a guy in the Chiefs-Eagles game, and he's not a great back, but he's a good back. And that's Pacheco out of Rutgers. I think he was a seventh-round pick. Steve, that guy always runs angry. Always. And he takes some big shots. When he takes the shot, you know what he does? He bounces back up and with a big smile on his face. He loves what he's doing. Those legs are always churning. And he squeezes as much as he can get out of the play. I want to see a little more run angry from Rashad White. I don't see it. And I'm with you, Steve. After more than a year and a half of averaging 3.3 and 3.5, I've seen enough, Steve. He never breaks one off the line of scrimmage. He's got zero 20-yard runs this year. Zero. He's been the primary back since week one. Nobody's challenged him. He gets all the carries. Whenever they do run the ball, it's White. Steve, can I get one 20-yard run from this guy? One? Some chunk plays from this guy? So he has value, but I'm ready to move on as the primary back. They got to get somebody.
Yeah, Pacheco is fun to watch. Nobody runs angrier than that guy. You saw it last year. He's definitely a top five angry runner, and it's just a mentality that was there when he was in college, I'm sure. And here it is in the pros. It just speaks to the struggles that Jason Light has had getting running backs. Keyshawn Vaughn now completely buried. Sean Tucker, literally, Sean Tucker, who hasn't played very much, maybe 20 carries, something like that. Skip Pete, the Buccaneers running back coach, talked about Sean Tucker getting tired later in the season. I'm like, getting tired? From what? I mean,
nobody picks up on the nuances of what these guys say like you. It's unbelievable.
And then meanwhile, Todd Bowles is on Sirius this week on Monday, as usual, chat there. And he's talking, they're asking him about padded practices remaining. And, you know, this point in the season, you know, mid-November, you know, you don't have that kind of time to work on tackling, because Bowles was not happy with the tackling against the 49ers. And there was some ugly stuff out there. But Bowles even said, well, it's really more, everything's mental at this point. It's not about the physical practice and that kind of thing. So it's like, what Sean Tucker's exhausted from, it's crazy. Absolutely crazy. And Chase Edmonds, who looks healthy now, and he's still running for 2 yards a carry. I don't think I've ever seen such an ineffective group of running backs. And Jason Light just hasn't had it when it comes to picking backs and sticking with backs. And he stuck with Doug Martin a year too long. And there have been a lot of examples here. They tried to sell us Peyton Barber, and it's a problem. And
Ronald Jones, well, throw him in there.
The wild thing about Jones, Ira, you know, he's out of the league right now. They could bring him back, but he's, like I told you, that 2020 season he had so undervalued at 5.1 yards a carry, best in Buccaneers history. The guy had talent. It's just his head, obviously, was in the clouds somewhere. You know, that was realized, I guess, once he left the team, but they got a lot out of him. I give Bruce Arians a lot of credit for staying patient with Jones, getting him past his fumble issues and squeezing probably as much as they could have out of him. But it's something that needs to be fixed. I don't know who's going to fix it, but man, I would love to see them pull a running back or two off the street just to try to shake this thing up, but I don't think they're going to do it.
Steve, one of the interesting moments in the Monday night game when they were talking about the lack of a Buck running game, credible running game, They put that chart up, Steve. It was only up there for about 45 seconds, but I saw it, and Buck Nation saw it.
Sage, real quick, you're talking, you said Monday night. That was in Sunday's game, like the first quarter. They put up that graphic where the Bucks have had a crappy running game since 2015. I saw it too.
You're right. It was Sunday's game. That's right. You know, it wouldn't be an Eagle or Chiefs game. You're right. That was very telling, Steve. And it told a tale of woe. That's what it was. And they even mentioned Doug Martin. I forgot the year. It might have been 2015 that he had a big season.
Yeah.
And that's it. Steve, that's been it. You know, 24th in the league, 27th in the league, 29th in the league. How could that last 8 or 9 years? I mean, that's terrible. That is just awful. Now, they won a Super Bowl. And that year, I thought the running game was okay, Steve. They had Fournette and Jones.
Yeah, it was good.
Not bad.
Solid.
Yeah, it was good for the most part. Since the hamster, and it's been a while since the hamster, this running game has been flat, and nobody pays any attention to it. No opposing defensive coordinator spends more than 5 minutes on this thing during the week. You can imagine what the Colts defensive coordinator is saying. He's talking about Evans. He's talking about Godwin. He's talking about putting the heat on Mayfield. And we got to contain White coming out of the backfield. That's it. He's not spending any time on the Buck running game. And that's got to change.
Sage, do you think the Bucks have something in Devin Hopkins as a returner? We saw the big fourth quarter return. And it wasn't a cheapie. I mean, he made like three guys miss early and then turned it on. And then we also saw him take a handoff, you know, run left and realize, hey, I'm faster than my blocking here. Let me slow down. Let me set up Kate Otten here. And he almost got the edge all the way to the end zone, got to the 1 yard line or so. That was a very savvy kind of run. I think he's a garbage receiver, Ira, but do you think they have something as a returner gadget kind of player?
I do. Every time you look at Tompkins and say, what the heck is this guy doing on the roster? Can't they do better? Then he'll make a play. Special teams, end around, screen. The guy can play at this level. And you're right about that punt return, which was the longest since 2015 by a Buck. It was not one where he took a line drive and went straight up the middle and nobody touched him. No, he showed a lot of elusiveness on that play. He's also fairly shorthanded, and God knows they haven't had a lot of big plays in the return game over the years. They just haven't. So that was a big play. It changed momentum totally in favor of the Bucks. It gave the 49ers a little bit of a scare, set the Bucks up on a short field. They couldn't take advantage. But the guy belongs on the roster in a limited role. I think he can be effective.
All right, Sage, I have an important question for you. It speaks to the now and the future at the same time. But first, I want to remind everybody, Bill Curry Ford, Black Friday sales are going on already. They are open. They're ready for business. GM Sean Sullivan wants to help you personally. And that means however you need that personal touch, he's available. Email, find him at BillCurryFord.com, telephone or at the dealership. Mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry. Ira Kaufman podcast is always in effect. Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Big Storm Beer is Florida's best craft beer, and their locations in Odessa, Amway Center in Orlando, Clearwater on 49th Street, and the new and beautiful Ybor City, Centro Ybor upstairs. Get your Big Storm Beer and follow Big Storm on all your social media. All the different outlets have their own spot, Ira. And I got one thing for you to note, Ira. You ready for this? $1 wings. Yeah. $1 wings. An all-day happy hour at Big Storm tomorrow, Wednesday. So that's something that the Sage...
Which Big Storm? All of them?
Ybor City.
Okay. Ybor City. You got it. Steve, I like the dry rub. You know, give me some celery and some blue cheese. I'll do my own dipping. I don't like my wings smothered in sauce, Steve. I like the dry rub. I'll put on what I want.
Now, that's an 8-wing minimum. We're going to have it up, all the details up today at joebucksfan.com. But 8 wings for Ira. Ira's like, hey, wait, 8-wing minimum, that's nothing. I'm at least a 14 guy.
That's an appetizer, Stevie. It's an appetizer.
Of course, as we heard before, we thank our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida's Elite Restoration. .com. All right, Ira, important question here. Devin White, it's beyond official that he's not coming back next year. They're not going to pay him, and he's not playing very well. He's playing average, and that's not what he's here for. He's not the player he was, and that's that. We don't have to keep resetting it. But I'll tell you this, Ira, you know, was it noticed big time at $1 that without Lavonte David on the field, without Carlton Davis, without Jamel Dean, this team locked down the 49ers late in that game, all the way through the fourth quarter and a little bit into the third quarter here. You think that opened some eyeballs at $1 that, hey, you know what? Maybe these younger guys are more ready than we think, and maybe we need to make some of those changes right now.
You know, along those lines, Steve, if things go more off the rails than they already are in the next couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, you could see Servassier Dennis getting the bulk of the playing time, Steve. That could be one of the changes that I was alluding to. They might tell Devin White to take a seat because at that point, Steve, they might have convinced themselves beyond a doubt that he's not coming back. And if he's not coming back, the natural thing is to groom his replacement. They'll couch it that he's got a bad ankle, something like that, a sore knee, hyperextended. And, you know, we're playing Dennis right now. Steve, I think you're getting a little bit ahead of yourself, you know, with some of these young guys. Other than Yaya Diaby. I mean, he looks like the real deal. Now, you might be talking about Zion McCollum. I don't know if I'm ready to go there. They've got a lot invested in these two cornerbacks, Steve. It's really been a nightmare since maybe the first month of the season. It's been a nightmare at corner. Dean can't stay healthy. He just can't. And he just hasn't been very good this season when he's out there. Davis, you know, we know about the Houston game. But other than that, Steve, where are the picks? I mean, Kevin Ross has been talking about this for 4 years, Steve. 4 years. We get our hands on balls and we got to take it away. I don't even think they're getting their hands on balls at this point, Steve. All of a sudden, the corners, which were supposed to be a strength of this team, it doesn't look that way. Steve, it doesn't look that way, and I don't see guys in the backup roles that are going to make anybody sit up and notice. So I understand your point. Fourth quarter defense was very stout, with a bunch of backups in there. But I don't think anybody's saying, hey, we can get by just fine without Lavonte David at this point. You know, maybe the Niners took their foot off the gas, Steve. They don't normally do that, as you mentioned. They don't normally do that. They normally bury you, but, you know, they had a 4th-and-1 or whatever with McCaffrey. The Bucs stopped them cold. You saw how pissed off McCaffrey was. He makes that 4th down. Maybe it doesn't get dicey at the end. But as far as I'm looking at right now, I don't think they can afford not to bring Lavonte David back in 2024, Steve.
Oh, Ira, I would re-sign him right now just as a statement. Say, hey, look what this guy's meant to everybody. He's valuable no matter what. I would re-sign him right now, and I think he wants to play. That's just me. I would do it. I was talking about not pulling David off, although who knows how this groin injury will affect him, but maybe they saw enough of Dennis where they take White off the field and just try to shake things up somehow. I don't know, but I just figured I'd ask you, Ira. There were a lot of young guys out there, Josh Hayes, Kayvon Merriweather, those rookies, and McCollum, of course, so just something to think about. All right, Ira, look, we'll be back with another podcast, actually, that'll be airing either on probably Wednesday late or Thursday morning. So we'll talk Thanksgiving and what's on the Sage's menu a little bit later. But I know you're furiously working out all day today, Tuesday, so you can be ready to hit the 8,000 calorie mark. But good luck with the hot tub. I know that's not finished yet. Hopefully you'll get your soak in before the holiday.
Steve, there's one key about the holidays, especially Thanksgiving. Don't go near a scale on Friday. Don't go near a scale, and you'll be just fine.
That is what we call sage wisdom. All right, Ira, we're out of here. We'll be back soon. Be good.